Hello, welcome to the Tuesday, September 8th, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I'm today recording from New York City, New York. If you are having problems parsing various threat intelligence feeds, you may need a tool to convert the different feeds into whatever format you can actually apply, for example, to NetFlow or to whatever you're using to scour your systems for malicious software. Xavier has a nice solution for you in his latest diary. The IOC parser is a Python script that can convert different formats into one another and make them work with whatever solution you have available to find these indicators of compromise in your network. It can extract indicators even from less structured publications like HTML pages, so it's not just limited to things like OpenIOC or Styx or whatever format you may have available. And some bad news for users of FireEye's products. Security researcher Christian Eric Hermansen disclosed the one security flaw in FireEye's web applications. The flaw, a simple directory traversal issue, allows an attacker to read arbitrary files from the system. The flaw can also be used to confirm that the application is running as root, something most best practice guides recommend against. In addition to the one vulnerability that was disclosed, the researcher offered others for sale. He claims that he has been working with FireEye for over 18 months now, and FireEye yet has to fix this problem. It isn't clear if he did ask FireEye for money in exchange for providing them with details of the vulnerabilities, but apparently FireEye also doesn't really have a well-documented vulnerability disclosure procedure. And cert.org is warning of a vulnerability in Seagate's wireless drives. These hard drives include built-in Wi-Fi hardware to allow users to connect to the hard drive and easily share as well as retrieve files. A total of three vulnerabilities were disclosed. The first one, an undocumented telnet service with a trivial default username and password of root. Secondly, files can be downloaded without having to authenticate at all, as long as the attacker knows the file's location. And finally, attackers can also upload files to the system without having to authenticate. Seagate did release updated firmware that fixes these issues. In general, in particular, these consumer-level devices should really not be expected to protect content from users who are able to reach the device's built-in web application. While the device isn't sold with this disclaimer, experience has shown that the web applications controlling these devices tend to be buggy and insecure. Your best option is to limit the exposure by only connecting the device to a closed wireless network with limited users and enable the device only while it is needed to access or update files. And Bluecode looked at some of the newly created top-level domains from a security point of view. You may have noticed that a lot of spam uses domain names with new top-level domains, and Bluecode's analysis appears to confirm this suspicion. For example, 100% of sites Bluecode found in the .zip top-level domain were what Bluecode calls shady. The top 10 shadiest top-level domains, according to Bluecode, all have 96% or more suspect sites. Of course, the classification may vary depending on what you consider a suspicious site. Not all of these sites offered malware, but in talking to administrators of web gateways like the ones that Bluecode offers, but also open source ones, of course, many do block new top-level domains, as so far they provide little business value and a high number of malicious or just spammy content. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening, and thanks again to ThreatStop for supporting this podcast. Talk to you again tomorrow.